Hey everyone, Jared Sebesta here, host of Repurposed. Here's your podcast. I hope you enjoy.
We've all been hurt. We've all experienced pain, and we carry that. Those wounds are deep. To think that those don't impact our current relationships is naive.
Sure.
Because they do. But to talk about how when we release those to the Lord, it really can bring us freedom.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurpose, the show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, of intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Taegis Financial Group, a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where our mission is to partner with individuals, families, and businesses to change lives and inspire what we call true wealth. We believe that purpose just doesn't go away when you turn 65. In fact, we believe that there's a connection with our life and our purpose throughout our entire lives. And this especially is the case with retirement. We believe retirement can be the most impactful and purposeful season of your life. And that's what we teach here at Taegis Financial Group. If you want more information on our firm, just go to our website, taegisfinancial.com. Well, on this episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation with a friend of mine named Tom Henderson. Tom is the founder of Restoration Generation. It's an organization focused on helping young people, mainly between the ages of 12 and 29, deal with issues caused by broken relationships, things like anger, poor self-esteem, identity, and acceptance. He's been speaking professionally for almost 15 years at school assemblies, festivals, concerts, and other national events. And the reason he does this is because Tom grew up in a home shattered by divorce and addiction, and he had to deal with these very same issues in his own life. In this episode, Tom shares his own story on how we, and more importantly, God, can use our broken past, our broken stories, and use those for positive impact on people today. Here's my chat with Tom Henderson.
My wife and I started Restoration Generation now. We shorten it to ResGen just because it flows a little easier. But we started ResGen in April of 2010. I've been working with students full time for over 20 years now in a variety of different capacities. And what we've just recognized is that the majority of our students today have known nothing but broken relationships with their families, with their friends, with their community, and as weird as it may sound, with themselves. And so this has caused them to really view their relationships, their ability to have relationships. Can they be healthy? What does their future look like? What's their identity? All those kinds of things. It's caused them to question those things. And so we just feel like that is something that God has allowed us to go and speak into the lives of students all over the country on the topic of relationships, on identity, on purpose, and God's plan for their lives. And so we do that in a variety of different ways through public middle school and high school assemblies. We talk about caring for one another, about bullying, not how to, but like how to stay away from that kind of thing.
Right.
What does love look like in a middle school or high school setting? And we do that totally with secular conversation and talking about, you know, how can they help put the broken pieces of their lives back together as peers, as fellow people who are on the journey of trying to find wholeness in their own life. And then outside of that, usually in the evening, we will do a large scale kind of family, but community wide event, where we will bring in some different entertainment. And then I will also share, the good news about God, in the evening.
That's awesome. You mentioned broken relationships. Are you just talking about divorced parents, or what do you mean by broken relationships?
Well, for sure that. I mean, that's, I came out of a broken home myself, and that's been the story that I've heard time and time again from students, is that, that their family is fractured. That when I mentioned the idea about having a healthy relationship and how our family relationships, they're almost taken back by it and saying, you know, those kind of relationships aren't in existence in my life. They haven't seen a healthy marriage. They haven't seen a safe home in many cases. And obviously there's some teenage type perspective, right? That's a part of those kinds of conversations. And so right. you got to kind of dig a little deeper and find out, okay, what is just the teenage perspective versus reality? But there's no question in the world that teens are being raised in today, there are more outside voices telling them who they should be, what they need to do, or what they need to look like, or how they need to act, what they need to have, possess, whatever, to be accepted or loved or affirmed. And it's created a generation that is very well connected technology-wise, but they're not connected really at all relationally. And we've got teens that are struggling with anxiety, depression, a low self-esteem, leads them into cutting other forms of self-harm, and just all sorts of unhealthy relationships and unhealthy behaviors.
You attribute some of that to just the technological age that we live in. That's probably one aspect of it that you and I didn't deal with growing up. Is what's going on in the family that people aren't getting, besides just divorced families and broken homes? Like for me and you, we have young kids, my kids are younger than yours. Like, what are we not providing to our kids that maybe was there 30, 40, 50 years ago plus?
Well, and it may not be something that we don't mean to not provide. So I think that's important to say, because I think that no one would say that, we don't want to provide a safe place for our kids at our home, or we don't want to provide a great example of what a healthy relationship looks like. It's just that our lives are busier than ever. Yeah. We have many homes where if there's both husbands and wives working, and again, I'm not against that at all.
Sure.
But what that is causing is, teens to get themselves ready in the morning, to coming home sometimes to an empty home. We have kids that have been a part of sports camps forever, and they're so busy that family meals are very hard to come by anymore, where we're all sitting around a table. When we do have family time, where our faces are in phones or tablets or computers, and they're not necessarily connecting over board games or cards and different things like that. And again, I'm not anti-technology. I'm not anti sports camps or activities, but the busyness and the pace of our life and the pressure to be involved in so much, the whole fear of missing out that teenagers have, that even parents have, and should I put my kid in this camp, or should I? Well, I don't want my kid to miss out. I don't want my kid to maybe not be able to play when they're older.
Right.
So we better get them in. And again, I know that you know this about me. I'm very pro activity and pro engagement and social activities and all those kinds of things. But those things also have a cost. And
sure.
So we need to figure out, how do we build that margin still into our family time so that time actually exists?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on the faith end, of course, the busyness bleeds into, how important is worshiping as a family anymore? How important is the Wednesday night youth, youth group and different Bible studies and different things like that? And so it's just, it's good to have those kinds of conversations to say, where do our priorities really lie?
Yeah. Talk about your own story. You come from a broken family. You mentioned that earlier in the podcast already. Just tell us your testimony.
I was born in Southern California, and at the age of nine, my parents split. My dad had ventured outside of the marriage and had a relationship with another gal, and my mom found out about that, and so he left, and my mom and moved myself, my two sisters and I, to Sioux Falls after that took place, and my dad stayed in California, and he went on to marry her, and went on to make a pretty poor decision down the road that landed him in prison throughout the entirety of my teenage years, from the time I was 14 into my early 20s. Because of that, Jared, I just grew up as a teen boy that was really struggling not having a dad there. I mean, that was one thing, but then also struggling with this idea of, my dad's in prison. I mean, it's one thing to have my dad leave. It's another thing to have him in prison, and, caused me to think, okay, is that what my life is destined for? Can I have healthy relationships? All those kinds of things that I talked about with teenage culture today and why ResGen exists. I'm able to go in and share my story about how the relationships that were broken in my home, although not perfect today, have been repaired at some level. And I remember being 21 years old, my dad was released from prison, and I flew down to California with my wife. We had just been married before that. We flew down, and during that time, I met with him, and I remember sitting in a booth at a diner overlooking the ocean, and about a 3-hour conversation of just telling him how bad that he'd hurt me and my two sisters and my mom, but that Jesus had forgiven me for everything that I've ever done and ever will do, and that I should extend this, that I wanted to extend the same kind of forgiveness to my dad, and that if he wanted to, we could start our relationship over again.
What happened?
And I was pretty nervous to have the convo. I'm not going to lie to you. But thankfully, in my situation, he said, yep, I'd like that. And so we've been rebuilding that relationship over the last 22 years almost. And comes and visits, and I've been there a couple different times. And it's not perfect, but it's there. I'm thankful for that. And that was something that was really part of my healing process too, to be honest with you, Jared, sure. Is that going down there and releasing that. Cause see, forgiveness is not so much about, okay, I can stand to be in the room with the person again, or, you know, or saying, you know what, that doesn't hurt anymore. No, it's really a releasing. You know, forgiveness is a releasing and saying, okay, I'm not going to allow this to hold me in bondage or in prison and allow it to impact me and my relationships anymore. I'm going to release this hurt, this pain, this anger, whatever it is, to the Lord and give it to him. And are there times where I think about those situations and, you know, maybe get a little angry at times? Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But it's just a reminder. It's a day by day. I just need to release that to the Lord and trust him for that. And it was amazing even how that impacted my marriage. The unforgiveness and the anger that I held, you know, I brought that into my marriage.
Yeah,
quite a bit of struggle that Laura and I had in the first couple of years of our marriage, where I mean I just didn't trust her. I mean, every time she would look at a guy, or every time that she would talk to somebody, I would just say things like, well, you know what, why don't you just go sleep with him? You know, you're going to anyway. I didn't trust her because that's kind of what I came from. And so I just thought, well, that's what it's going to be like and in my life. And so going through those steps of forgiveness and understanding what it was and what it wasn't really allowed me to be free in my relationship with my wife and grow exponentially in our relationship. And so that's one thing that is such a powerful thing, I think, that I can share with not only teenagers, but just people in general, because we've all been hurt. Yeah. You know, we've all experienced pain and we carry that. Those wounds are deep. And to think that those don't impact our current relationships is naive, because they do. But to talk about how when we release those to the Lord, it really can bring us freedom. There's an old statement, and I'm forgetting the guy's name that says it. I'll probably remember it in our conversation in a little bit. But he said, you know, forgiveness is being released from prison and realizing that the prisoner was you. That's such an interesting perspective when you really think about it, is saying, you know, we think that when we're holding someone in unforgiveness and we're not forgiving them, that it's, you know, we're making them pay or that we're putting them in prison, but really we're the ones behind bars.
Sure. Well, I think people say, I don't want to forgive because I don't want to have to forget. And I've given people advice on this, and not that I'm an expert by any means, but saying, well, it doesn't mean that it's forget, you know, you haven't forgotten it. It's just releasing that emotional bondage in which you're in for it.
And totally.
Not that you'll ever forget it. That's not the point. But yeah, it's like a heart connection that you're now releasing. I love that. That's great.
I still remember the day that he walked out. I still remember the big pillow I was sitting on in the middle of my living room as I watched him walk out. I haven't forgot about that, but I've chosen to not allow that to hold me in bondage any longer.
Yeah, that's great. So how did that turn into ResGen?
You know, it was really, I was doing a lot of speaking. I was starting to, at churches and just random other things. And some people started coming up and saying, Tom, this is what you're gifted for. This is what God has called you to do, and you need to do it more. But the last thing I felt that we needed in Sioux Falls or in in our area.
The Bible Belt of the Upper Midwest.
was another speaker or another nonprofit or whatever. And so I really fought it for about a year and a half, and until it came just so abundantly clear through, you know, people coming and just continuing to say, hey, this is what God's called you to. And out of the blue, not fishing for it, but just saying, have you thought about doing this more full time? I mean, this is what you're gifted at. You need to do it. But what really put me over the edge, and I love telling this story, even though people think it's probably a little bit weird, was that, I remember going to bed one night. It was about a year and a half after I first kind of had this vision of, okay, we gotta do this, but you know, we don't need anybody else. I went to bed. And I had a dream, and the dream was me standing before the Lord, as we're all going to do, scripture says, and he said, hey, Tom, you know what, man, you're in. Well done, good and faithful servant. And as I was walking by, getting ready to go find a mansion, he said, I just wish you would have trusted me more. I had more territory. I had more opportunity. I had more people that I wanted you to reach and different ways to use your gifts. And I just wish you would have trusted me more. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up. And I'm like, wow, man, I'm never going to eat at that pizza restaurant again. the very next night, same exact dream to a T.
Wow.
Woke up and I'm like, man, that's weird. The very next night, the third night in a row, same exact dream. And I get emotional even just talking about it because it was just so powerful. And I remember waking up that next morning after the third night in a row, and I looked at my wife and I said, I don't know what it's going to be called. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's ahead of us, but we got to do it. Hmm. Because it's so clear that this is what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so that was 8.5 years ago, more than 8.5 years ago. And over that last 8.5 years, we've been to 28 different states and speak to over 25,000 people a year, and primarily students, but we've done business seminars and we've done sure. men's events. And we've done festivals and conferences, and it's just been amazing to watch the Lord work.
How do you view purpose? Do you feel like this is your purpose to do this and God used a bad situation, or do you feel like this was kind of ordained from the beginning? Like, how do you look back at your testimony and just kind of navigate how you got here?
Well, I think there's a couple things. Number one, I think that when I really began to internalize that God wants to use all of our stories for His glory, and that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's called to full-time ministry or to do what sure. I do or do what you do or whatever, but you know, we all have a story and God wants to use it for Him. He wants to use it for His kingdom. And mm-hmm. and when we're taught to pray, you know, may your kingdom come, may your will be done, we're a part of bringing His kingdom here to this earth. And that happens when we share our stories. And so for me, purpose is number one, internalizing that for myself. But then also sharing that with other people and helping them see whether they are a teenager or they're, you know, a 20 something or they're in the golden years of their life, that your story, you're never done sharing your story for His glory. And so helping, you know, keeping that purpose as a part of my mindset, and then helping others with their mindset as well. But then also one of the passions I have, especially in what I do, is, you know, I'm a speaker and an evangelist and all of that kind of stuff. And a lot of times I have just a very small window of time to be able to communicate with people, and then I leave. But I take the follow-up process extremely seriously. I'm very serious about it. And so a couple of years ago, well, actually in 2013, you know, we put out my book, Heart Not Hype, which is a 7-day discipleship resource that really just kind of connects the dots for people of, okay, how do you transition from a mountaintop experience, you know, that kind of that, oh yeah, well, I understand who I am in Christ and that I've given my life to Him or whatever. But how do they transition from that moment back into normal life?
Right.
And that's one of the things that I don't think a lot of speakers, that's maybe not their focus. And that is one of my focuses. I just really want to make sure that we do everything we can to help connect people to following Jesus for a lifetime, not just for the moment.
Yeah.
And so we work a lot with like the local churches and ministries that are local there to make sure that follow up happens. You know, my Heart Not Hype book is one piece of really just understanding, helping them understand, you know, why should they go to church? Why should they read the Bible? Why are there big numbers and small numbers in the Bible? You know, all those things that you and I maybe we've known forever, but to a person that's never known faith before, those kinds of things are big question marks for them.
Sure.
How do you pray? Why do you pray? What does it mean to, you know, serve and love other people the way that Jesus did? And so it's just written in a way that's really kind of Christianity 101. And so we've seen a great deal of success with that. And we actually just went into our fourth printing and put it, revamped it a little bit and added a whole in-depth study guide into the back for people that want to go a little deeper. And so we've got over 17,000 copies of those out in circulation, and we've added text discipleship. So every other week, students from all over the country get a text message with scriptures on it. We're going to be starting discipleship videos in 2019, just to help continue to partner with the local ministries and the local churches in helping disciple students and just people in general,
yeah,
ongoing in their life.
Yeah, crazy. We got about 3 minutes left, two questions left here for you. First of all, what would you do if you didn't do this? What do you think your purpose would be if you didn't have this organization get a chance to go and speak? What would be the next logical step to still fulfill this purpose of telling your story?
Well, you know, I get asked all the time, so Tom, are you ever going to be a pastor, you know, at a church or anything like that? And I don't know what the Lord will do, but I honestly, I get asked all the time, you know, what else would you do?
Yeah.
And my answer really is, there's just nothing else I can do right now. I mean, I don't even think about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as a cop-out answer or anything, but
yeah,
this is 100%. What I'm supposed to be doing, what I'm passionate about doing, I'm energized by it.
Yeah.
And so I don't even think about like, boy, if I wasn't doing this, what would I do?
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'd probably be figuring out how to start this.
I hear you, because I get asked that question too. I'm like, honestly, I don't know. I got three small kids. I'm just trying to get through the week at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, and dude, I got two teens now. I mean, I got a 14 and 17 year old. So I'm like dadding,
yeah,
the my main audience too, right?
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
So I'm like, I'm in it, man.
So last question here before we get to where people can find you. I always ask our interviewees, what is maybe a tangible way that we can have more impact? This podcast is about purpose and impact. Is there something that we can do, you've seen over the years working with kids, that we can do to have more impact on people around us?
Well, I think it's really just opening our eyes and seeing the need of students and just people in general, the desperation that they have for purpose in their life. And, you know, we see it all over social media as we look at people's highlight reels.
Yeah.
We see it on, in just, you know, the work relationships in schools. When I go and do businesses and adult events, I talk about how we're really all just older teenagers,
right,
and how we're all wondering, man, are we going to be accepted today? Are we going to be affirmed? Are we going to say something dumb? Are we going to get invited to a lunch or to happy hour or I mean whatever,
yeah,
and we yearn for that. And so we have the opportunity to love other people in the same way that Jesus loved them, and that starts with seeing them. You know, Jesus always, he saw them.
Yeah,
he like,
yeah,
looked looked them in the eye, and he truly saw them. And so what would it look like if we all just said, you know, I want to see,
yeah,
one person today, yeah, and just truly see them for who they are, and then just let God lead that conversation or let God lead where that needs to go.
Yeah, that's great. Tom, I appreciate this so much. We're out of time. Before I let you go, tell us where we can find more about ResGen and talk about the summit you got coming up in January.
Yeah, dude. So, resgen.org, resgen.org, tells you all about, kind of everything we're doing. And actually right now, yep, there's a couple links there for, we got a men's summit. This is our third year of pouring into men. First year we had 143 men, last year 368. And this next year, man, in January 26, 2019, we are praying for 600 to 800 men, for 6 hours where we pour into them, loving Jesus, loving their wives and loving their kids. And what kind of difference would that make in our homes and in our communities?
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Tom Henderson. I really like how he explained purpose. He said, purpose is really an understanding that God wants to use all of our lives, all of our stories, and use them for His glory, the good and the bad ones. And that makes me think of Romans 8:28, where it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Again, we all come from some sort of brokenness to some capacity, certainly some more than others, but if we use those for God's glory, He will redeem all of those bad experiences and use them for His wonderful purpose. Tom goes on to say that taking it to the next level, telling people about those stories, again, can reinforce that purpose that God gives us. If you want more information on Tom and his organization, Restoration Generation, just go to their website, resgen.org. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you are approaching retirement, get your hands on a copy of this book. And if you want the first two chapters totally free, just go to our website, tagesfinancial.com. Click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift just for listening here today. And as always, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Thanks so much for checking out this episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, these podcasts are only available because of generous support of people just like you. If you'd like to make a gift and support Faith Radio, go to the website, myfaithradio.com. Also, another way you can help is by sharing these podcasts on social media and subscribing. Just click subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast player, and you'll be sure to never miss a show.